Welcome to All Things Policy, a daily podcast by the Takshashila Institution. We are a bunch of policy nerds based in Bengaluru, and we like bringing fresh perspectives to Indian affairs and Indian perspectives to global affairs. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and join us for today's chat.
Hello and welcome to All Things Policy. I am Pranay Kotastane and I have with me General Prakash Menon. And today we are going to discuss a recruitment plan report which has come out into the media of the army, and it suggests that there are a few changes being considered for taking in people into the armed forces. And basically there are two ideas that are doing the rounds. One is something called the tour of duty. I don't know why that name and where that name comes from, but it says basically that there will be soldiers and officers who will be recruited for 3 years into the armed forces and they'll go out of the armed forces after serving this term. And the other one that has been under discussion is something called the inverse induction model, about which we have discussed earlier in an episode as well. And that was one of the ideas to for centrally armed police forces to recruit people and then they serve for a specific period in the armed forces and then they go back to their armed police force after that term. So I thought it would be a good thing to discuss the merits and demerits of both these strategies, and that's why General Menon is here with us. So General Menon, first of all, I wanted to understand, what is the organizational aim that we are trying to achieve by changing these recruitment plans?
Yeah, so actually it is rooted in the fact that our pension bill is now completely unsupportable in the long term. In the short term, it is affecting military modernization because the pension bill has jumped, especially after the OROP. So whatever these measures are actually to bring down the pension bill. And that is where the origination of these ideas have come from. So it is something which is not, it is aimed only for that. But can we still maintain, but the larger question is, can we still maintain military effectiveness to the required level and quality and yet change the way and how long we keep this? That I think is the essential background under which we should view these proposals.
Right. Just to give some context to what General Menon was mentioning about the pension numbers. So by 2014-15, the defense pensions bill was around 54,000 crores. And by 2020, it had more than doubled to 1,12,000 crores, right? So it is more than a 2x jump within these 4-5 years, and it is going to keep increasing significantly, and that too at a time when our modernization plans are difficult, and after COVID-19, even there will be budget cuts elsewhere. So that is the background. General Menon, I suppose that's the reason why these ideas are even finding some traction now.
Yes, exactly. The point is, what can we do? But whatever we do, we can't really solve the problem in the short term, because this, even if you take somebody for 3 years, you don't give him a pension and he goes back, but that doesn't save your pension in the short term. It will save it in the long term. So we must understand that these are measures which are primarily meant for the short term, except probably the inverse induction model, which again is the long term. But this one is completely different, the tour of duty.
So let's get into the details of this itself. So first, this tour of duty, as I understand it, General Menon, it is for both soldiers and officers. And it is serving for 3 years. So maybe people after their 12th standard, I suppose, will come into this.
And yeah, that's what they're talking about after finishing 12th standard. That's right.
Right. So if they are going to serve for 3 years, that means their training obviously has to be much shorter compared to what the armed forces give currently, isn't it?
Well, what I'm given to understand is that the training would be, if it was normally for 1 year, it will be curtailed to about 7 to 8 months. If it was for 2 years, it'd probably be for 1 year. So this training is just the fact that they believe that a certain minimum amount is possible in a short period of time. And I don't think these 3 years includes a training period. That is a separate period.
Okay. So, General Manan, actually, this as such is not a very new idea, right? There is a history to this. A lot of times, Indian armed forces and the government have considered ways to quickly ramp up recruitment and ramp it down later as well. So, there have been various schemes over the years, color service, reserve service, territorial army, NCC and short service, which the three already exist now. So, what were these about? So, let's discuss them. What was this color service about and why was it taken away?
See, one of the reasons why this pension bill has gone so high is the fact that previously people used to serve only for a short period of time, which was for 10 years, or maybe less than that, and then they went home. So, because of the fact that they could not get resettled anywhere else, their period was extended, the color service, the amount of years that they put into service, and they were eligible for a pension after a particular number of years. Okay. So we took on the pension entitlement in the name of the welfare of the people who had served the nations. Like the short service commission was initially, I think, 5 years. Could be extended up to 10 years. Now we see that, you know, it is moving on to they should be given a chance to become permanent. So eventually what happened was that we started this small, but it all grew up. And then there was this clamor that, you know, what will happen to us after this? Who will give us a job? So it went on to all these longer term stuff. So here now we are back to a much shorter frame because I don't think we have ever been in this 3 year mold. So it'll be nice to see as to why is it 3 years. From what I'm given to understand is that this is based on the demand from interaction with a lot of young men in this country who feel that they should be given a chance to serve the nation at least for some time, and that is the 3 year period, and after which they want to go on to do whatever they would like to do. But they would like to have a badge of honor of having served the nation. And hopefully that will become also useful for whatever they want to do next. This is from the spirit of these young men who see the image of the soldier on TV, in the media, and who want to be there. But, you know, they want to be part of that. At least they want to feel it. It comes from there. And therefore, it is felt that there is a possibility that we can actually recruit these type of people, keep them for 3 years, and then let them go. How they're going to be at the end of 3 years, what is the package they're going to be left with, all that is still out for argument. But basic idea is this, that India has a lot of these young men who wants to have this badge of honor for having served in the armed forces.
So basically, we are adding another objective to this entire exercise, right? Earlier, we discussed the main objective was reduce pensions and salaries outgoes while not decreasing military effectiveness in any other way. But looks like this tour of duty adds a third objective, which is meeting the demands and aspirations of people who are outside the armed forces country. Would it be right to say this?
Actually, you are trying to say that there is a convergence of interest here between the fact that these people want to have this short tour of duty and your need to keep pensions down. Because let's say you recruit 10% of the people for tour of duty in the armed forces, I mean, just top of the head figure, then you would have otherwise normally had to give them that 10% pension at the end of 15 or 18 years that you will save. Because these guys, you will keep for that long and you don't have to worry. So it is still comes for the same reason of saving pension. Now, the other question is, how would this affect military efficiency and effectiveness? For just training, 3 years and out. So, from what we gather, and this is only a matter which you see in the public is about that you'll train them and you'll send them off to field area so that they can have experience. Either they will be in counterinsurgency in the Northeast or in JNK or beyond the line of control. They will be in active areas is what, because these are young men who wants to see action. They don't want to sit in peace and do soldiering. They are the guys who want action. So the question is, will this be militarily a good thing or not in terms of effectiveness? And from that point of view, I think there are merits and demerits here. One of the issues which we need to consider is, as far as efficiency is concerned, one of the things is that these sort of people cannot be inducted into that part of the armed forces which are technologically heavy. So the Navy and the Air Force, and even those segments of the Army, let's say like signals or engineers, where you need technical skills and which takes more time for it to be imparted, may not find space for these sort of people. But you can find space for these sort of people in non-technical arms, let's say, especially in the infantry, which is the bulk of the Indian Army. So this proposal is, let's first be clear, is an Indian Army proposal. It is not meant for the Navy or the Air Force as yet. And the Army can possibly do this without affecting military effectiveness, much depending on the numbers, if they do this for the infantry. That's where there is possibility. And why do they say this possibility in the infantry? Because the type of skills which needs to be imparted to a soldier, infantry skills, is well possible to do it in a short period of time. And he never operates alone in the infantry. He will be part of a larger, let's say, he will be part of a section or a platoon. His individual skills actually contribute at the collective level, but it cannot affect the collective level very much. And we hope, and this is the catch, that the spirit of these guys, and that's where the selection process will have to be very good, will be such that these guys are imbued with the spirits and the unit and the organization is able to make the best use of it. So it's possible, but those numbers will have to be not very much. It's possible that you might utilize them for 3 years and be very clear at the end of 3 years, they just go back. There's hardly anything which the armed forces will be able to do for them. But normally what happens is, if they start later asking for, let's say, medical cover, canteen cover, priority for jobs and so on, then these will have to be decided a priori. But now the cost, the issue is of saving cost. So that will have to be kept in mind. So there is scope. You don't rule this out. There is scope. And to try this out and see whether it will work, and that's what they're suggesting, that they will do it with 1,000. So this I'm talking about is the men, the rank and file. For the officers, I think I have a different view on this. For officers, it may not be a good idea, because the officer, after he passes out, and after, let's say, this boy is trained at the officers training academy for 8 months, he has to go to his unit. He needs to be having much more training in his unit. And normally within the first year or so, or year or two, you send him for a basic course called the Young Officers Course, where he will be given specialist to the arm or service that he's got. So while the technical skills apply, so this will again have to be for the infantry officer, I do not think it, because the problem is the infantry officer has to lead, whether he's a lieutenant, whether he's commissioned as a lieutenant, 1 year of service, he has to be a leader. Now, if he's going to be in the same position, and if you have to train him, then why would you, after spending money on his training, on YOs and his specialist tasks, which you do, leave off? Or you would say, these guys, since they're going to be for 3 years, we won't give him YOs training, which will not be fair. Because he needs the skills to operate. Especially you are saying that you're going to put him into counterinsurgency areas and so on. So I would think that this scheme should be confined, even if it is tested, to the rank and file and not to officers.
So, gentlemen, what about an option where this is sort of extended from 3 years to something like what the color service was, which was for around 7 years? Would that be a more palatable option?
See, your whole argument of TO, tour of duty, is that these people won't have that badge of honor of serving, but they actually want to do something else. Okay. So the point is, if you're going to keep them for 5 to 7 years, then that something else is either going to be pushed away, or is going to be that much more difficult. So why don't we actually look at it slightly differently? And I think that is where the inverse induction model would actually be much more superior, because what you're achieving here in terms of your objective, organizational objective, is saving pension and keeping military effectiveness. So as I told you, you have to restrict it now within non-technical branch like the infantry, you have to restrict it to OR. So the immersion model definitely looks to me a much more superior version of the whole thing, of both these.
Yeah, I mean, just like you mentioned about tour of duty being 3 years, I was reading there were reports that a few industrialists have sort of backed this idea, because they are saying it will be good if our people, after, let's say, their graduation, go and serve in the army and they come back. And then they will be, you know, more equipped to take on responsibilities. But here we don't have the luxury to think on those lines. I think the greater problem that we were trying to solve is reduce defense pensions while keeping the military effectiveness at its absolute best. So on that, let's come to the inverse induction model. So one thing that we proposed, for example, was that this will apply to people that centrally armed police forces will recruit people, and then they will serve in the armed forces for, let's say, 7 years, and then they go back to the CAPFs. So in that sense, this and tour of duty are completely different, right? One is talking about people just serving for 3 years and going back. The other one is talking about retention of human capital in the national security system.
Yeah, actually, if you really look at the tour of duty and the inverse induction model, as far as how the organization gains, the inverse induction model definitely will be applicable. You see, the model might be applicable, we have illustratively might be applicable only to CAPFs when it is demonstrated, but it can be scaled up to any part of government as long as there are common skill sets. For that matter, somebody who's recruited in for the ATC in the air traffic control can actually spend his initial 5 to 6 years as an air traffic controller in the Air Force and go back. I mean, you know, so there are common, so this is a much more superior model in that sense. The problem with this tour of duty is because of the length of time that you have this guy with you. See, as we get technologically more savvy, as we have more technology into our organization, the technical skills and the handling of equipment requires a lot of training and experience. Now, you don't want to throw away that after you have given them certain experience, especially for a short period of time, like 3 years. So from that, the other model is superior. So this one is about the fact that there are a lot of young people in this country who want to experience the forge. And therefore, there is a whole, let's say, basket of human resources which can be harnessed. But I think we should be careful about what we are trying to do here, because there are other reasons also. Eventually, when you train a man to be a combat soldier and you're going to use him for such a short period of time, when you send him outside, don't forget that he's been trained in use of arms and so on. And so to have a whole lot of people like that floating free afterwards with arms training we must also take that into consideration. It may not be the major factor, but it matters. The question is, don't we have a better alternative? Poor duty has got its pluses and minuses, but is there a better alternative? And I certainly feel that the inverse induction model is superior. But the catch is, and I know why the Army is really looking at this, because this does not involve any other part of the government.
Right.
The Army does not have to depend upon MHA accepting the proposal. The Army can do it themselves. So it is attractive. But I think we should be careful with that attraction. It is easier to do, but is it good enough? That is the question. And if you look at it from that point of view, we must think of the long-term consequences. We can have a test trial, no harm. If it works, till the time that the inverse induction model, which requires other agencies to get on board, there is no harm in trying this, because it, at the moment, you have such a large volume, a number of people who are unemployed, that a lot of people will jump for this, because they do not know what is in their future. COVID-19 is going to ensure that. So the number of people who will be crowding the recruiting stations for this, you can imagine, will be massive. That is not in doubt. What is in doubt is it good for the organization?
Right.
So the supply is there. Is this the demand we want to create?
Right.
That we must ponder.
That's a good point. On this, gentlemen, isn't these times actually a point where armed forces should be looking for some strategic hiring, in the sense that there are a lot of good human capital and talent who will not be able to, say, get the job that they desired because of the circumstances outside? So shouldn't this be looked as a way to hire strategically, maybe increase intake for some time, rather than looking at hiring for just for 3 years or really short periods of time?
You see, the point is, from the supply side, there's not going to be a problem, at least for the foreseeable future, because of the contraction and the effect on the economy itself. So we don't have to worry about the supply side. We can, in fact, we'll be able in a position to choose the best, because there are more people who will now be willing to come to the armed forces, and you can be choosy about it. So you really look at it. We must, in fact, look at it from the point of view, how do we select good people and yet keep them in the system so that the pension can be reduced? Don't forget, this is about reducing pensions. That is your main objective. If that was not there, then we should actually keep the people, pay them their pension, they can go home.
And to this episode, we'll link our document on this inverse induction, etc., because the seriousness of the pension problem is conveyed in that document, and we have done another episode on that. We'll probably link that as well. The positive thing, gentlemen, and I found because of all this is that all these ideas about this pension budget going sky high and all that were being made from a long time. We have been talking about it for 2-3 years, but nothing on that was moving. There was not much talk about it. But I guess the Overton window has aligned now, in the sense that some of these ideas are at least finding traction. And that is a positive, probably.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
On that positive note, we'll end this episode. Thank you, gentlemen. And I hope all the listeners would have known better now about this tour of duty being proposed. And we'll also link our paper and the suggestions that we've given. Thank you.
If you liked our show, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can tune into them on the IVM Podcast app, ivmpodcast.com, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also follow IVM on social media. The handle is @IVMPodcasts on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And hey, if you'd like to dive into Takshashila's research on technology, strategy, and economic affairs, check us out at our Twitter handle @TakshashilaInst or our website, takshashila.org.in.